is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
We are back after another glorious weekend of football. I'm joined by Kim Qatari as well in the VAR You Serious, of course, on FUBAR Radio. That's what you're listening to today. We're going to go through general life updates. Of course, we're going to talk about football a little bit. There's stories. We're top fans. We're in the industry. We follow football. We work with clubs and all these things. So you're going to get the all in-depth stories, of course, from us. We obviously support two of the big clubs. They are big clubs. That's not a lie. But two of the big clubs that are going for the titles. This is what makes it even more interesting. Myself, Cecil G, an Arsenal fan, and Kim Qatari, a Man City fan. It's going to be full of, you know, a bit of debates, but a bit of love as well on the side, because we've got a lot to discuss. So let's get into today's show. And we're going to start with, that's it, life, catch up. What's this week been saying for you? You good? Talk to me, Kim.
Good, man. Can't complain. I think anyone who follows me on Instagram knows that for the last 2 weeks, I've been begging for a Fred again ticket.
Oh.
Friday night, I'm on the train back from Bedford, seeing my missus's family. Fred again had already started at 5:30. It was at 6:30.
Jeez. Did you miss Kano?
Went on the website. Got the tickets, got straight off the train at King's Cross, straight to Ali Pali. As soon as we got in the crowd, Ezra Collective, bring out Kano.
Yeah, crazy.
It was crazy.
Crazy. I'll be honest, I'm jealous of that one. That one.
It was crazy.
That one stung me a bit. I saw the story saying, Fred again ticket, can anyone source that? And then I saw the video of you there and I went, ah.
No, it was good. It was good, but you know, do you remember the Christmas party?
Yeah, of course. How could I? How do you remember the Christmas party? I remember it very well, of course. But you
remember the situation? A similar situation on Friday night. I hadn't eaten all day.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have any time to get any food on the way to Ali Pali. I enjoyed the gig, but when I was walking out, honestly, Cecil,
you can't remember anything.
I could have been anywhere. It was an absolute disaster. Saturday, I felt absolutely dreadful. And then to top it off, had to go to DR Sports to watch the second half of the City-Leeds game, which, as you know, City didn't play very well. It was incredibly nerve-wracking. It was incredibly tense. Live on air with a Leeds fan and an Arsenal fan next to me. Hellish.
Wow.
That was horrible.
What a weekend.
But what a weekend.
Yeah, what a weekend. I mean, I think... That's made me laugh. I can't lie. For me, like this weekend, I mean, I had a nice week. I can't lie. I mean, I was obviously other broadcast platforms are available, but I was on Sky Sports on Saturday Social, which
yeah, I saw that. How was it?
Yeah, it was really good. I think it's not even we'll discuss it. Obviously, there's controversy of people saying on the social media world, where's Soccer AM? I pay all this for that, and they're bringing this rubbish, and who's these people? All that, and obviously. I was in some comments saying, look, this is the new age of TV now. Soccer AM's numbers dropped. And
where do you sit with it? Because you are, I would say, more from the new school.
Yeah.
I would say for me, I was trained as a reporter.
Right.
And now I'm having to change.
Yeah.
Now I'm having to change it up. I'm having to be a bit more vocal with the fact that I'm a Man City fan. You know, the first thing I got taught when I went in at TalkSport was if you ever talk about Man City, you're not allowed to use the word we or us.
Yeah.
And it was one of the hardest things to do, talking about City in like the third person. And now I'm getting employed to be a basically professional Man City fan and go on and say stuff about City. It's a really weird transition that I've had to make. I don't know what it's been like for you.
Again, that's a great question because the landscape has changed so much. I mean, obviously, like I said, I grew up on being a footballer and looking at people in suits and being impartial and trying to and not show what team they support and that's classic broadcasting style. But yeah, but when I came into the space is what I do now. I was told I am an Arsenal fan, but you can be who you want to be. You can be an Arsenal fan. You don't have to hide it. And it's interesting because I did a presenting course before I started at AFTV and a lot of things that I was taught I had to kind of take away, like, because it's completely different. Being on YouTube and actually being a presenter was two completely different things when it comes to, like, they want you to be yourself, authentic. You can, I don't swear, but you can swear, you can be animated, you don't have to mind how you speak in certain ways, the diction, articulation of certain things. However, I now deem myself as a presenter. So yeah. I try and focus on that and get the stories and opinions of other people. However, I can mix and blend between being that and then being a full-blooded Arsenal fan. But it's the world we live in, it's always moving. For me as a content creator that actually, I suppose, benefits of the new school world in sports media, my thing is, okay, if it's moving this way, I have to adapt. I think the show does really well through our radio, but VAR is serious to bring on the guests that we bring on that are working in this space and again, benefited of the new school sports media and how to, you know, enter it. What's your entry points and giving you stories that can give you some insight on, oh, if I do like this, that might be a way I choose to get into this space. So
I found something really interesting the other day, just very, very quickly, lastly on this.
Go on.
I was speaking to Kwaku Afari, who's a guy who I came up with at TalkSport. He also does like some really
does
good
well.
Stuff.
Very good.
Content creator presenting as well. And he said, every single presenter our age wants to be a content creator and every single content creator wants to be a presenter. And it's actually facts. It's actually so true. Like when you actually think about
it,
every person who's presenting for like your Sky or your BBC, of course they want to be paid to go and do a Betfair commercial
of
for
course.
Three times the amount of money and they can just talk about their team and what they want. And every single person who's a content creator thinks, oh God, I'd love to just get on Sky Sports and regularly be at press conferences interviewing people. It's so funny.
That's interesting.
That's human nature, bro. You always look for the thing that you don't have.
That's very interesting.
But it's true, isn't it? Like, when you actually think about it, a lot of the people we know is actually facts.
That's so mad because I consider myself a presenter. However, I'm not on the big, but I'm on a content creator platform continuously. But I pride myself in hosting and presenting events and asking meaningful questions. And I like the sport and the art of presenting. I think good presenters are very easy to spot. So that is very interesting. But then I suppose people will say, yeah, but you, I do those ads that you're talking about there that people want to do.
But you've got
it
all,
TikToks.
Though. It's
Nah. Trust me. I'm learning. excuse me. I think, you know, I've been lucky to be put in scenarios that I've had to just find my feet on. So I'll give you guys just a little bit of insight. Sorry, before we move on. Like, obviously, I've been at AFT for a long time following Arsenal. Great. There's no training for that. Robbie just employs you and says, be yourself, let's see what happens. Then you have to find your way in that space. It took me a long time to do that. I got a lot of criticism from the beginning. I was really bad. I know I was. But then I learned to get confident, emote through the camera and articulation, diction, all that stuff, and speak and ask meaningful questions. But then on top of that, I was being thrown into realms like the Sidemen charity match at Wembley, where you have in-ears, you have a producer telling you, okay, we need to move on. Then you have a grand producer in front of you saying, the next guest is coming on. Then you have to speak to 2.2 million concurrent viewers whilst thinking of questions to like Angry Ginge and Chunks and Speed. Like, that is something no one can pay you for.
It's insane, isn't it?
It's mad. Yeah. There's so much going on and you have to just trust yourself and not react to certain things that are going on around you. And I think, listen, I've been lucky enough to be able to be in different realms and spaces that have built me into, a strong presenter, but there's still a long way to go. But those things you can't really prepare for unless you train it. But I've been able to do that through just some of the experiences and doing live shows and whatnot. So, but it's tough. But I try and pride myself on being a presenter because I think, like I said, there is a real art to it. It's not, I think that you need to study, have some skills and a little bit trained for. Content creators, like you said, is kind of just turn up and your personality is what you're being paid for. So yeah.
100%. I need to introduce you to two things I've seen over the weekend, by the way.
Oh.
First of all, I've seen this guy for a long, long, long time.
I'm intrigued to see.
And every single time he comes up, I'm blown away. His name's John Sims, right? You know
Jim, Jimskin? No.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Right. His name's John Sims, yeah?
Yeah, go on, I don't know who that is.
He's a Birmingham City and Santos fan. You know Santos
from
Sao Paulo,
yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He goes to every single one of the Birmingham and Santos games.
How? How can you do that?
Every single week.
How can you do that?
So his last post.
Why does he support Birmingham?
His last post, he said, away day in London and a visit to Millwall. Not a good night on the pitch, but great day with friends. My final game of February and a month of travelling over 9,000 miles in the 6 games. 4 Birmingham games and 2 Santos games. A quieter march ahead, but games watching Blues, Santos and England. What?
John Sims.
First of all, right?
I have to see this person.
First of all, respectfully, how have you got the money to be doing all of this? Fair play, John. Because these
are
miles. No, I'm not joking.
People.
Bro, he goes to every game.
He has a tattoo on his chest of the Birmingham crest in the middle. England 3 Lions
on the right side, and then the Santos badge on the in the middle of this. Not a small tattoo either. It is huge. Wow. Who is this man?
41 hours from leaving home in England to arriving at the stadium for Santos's first game of Brasileiro 2026.
How did you come across this man?
He just regularly comes up. And at the beginning, when I first saw him, because you can't trust anything these days, I thought, is that AI?
Yeah, that's what I would have said that as well.
Creating this character? But no, this is his life. He follows them all. And I believe I've seen somewhere that he's, you know, properly in one of the supporters sections at Santos. He's a proper fan. He's a proper fan. And wow. 6 games in February across England and Brazil. It's crazy.
See, now that I didn't see coming.
It's crazy. And he lives in Birmingham as well, right? So if you live next door to Heathrow, that's still mental.
Yeah, that's still crazy.
But you're living in Birmingham. It's like 4 hours probably to get to the airport to then take what is, I believe, like an 11 and a half hour flight. And you're doing this just regularly just to watch the games.
I always wonder. I always wonder what these people do for a living, because I'm just like, how do you afford? Like, even when I go to, listen, of course, it's part of my job, so I'm going to be at every game. But on top of that, I'm a big Arsenal fan. So if I could, I would be before AFTV. I went to games, of course, but being able to go to all of them now is a dream. But like when I was going to Bodo Glimt in the Arctic Circle in a midweek Tuesday, like, and I see a load of us, all of us on the plane, I'm like, how are people just doing this? Like,
bro, it's crazy.
It's mad.
As you know, I go away. Yeah. I go away and I go away in Europe. And every single away game I've gone in Europe, at least 30 of the blokes who I see are always exactly the same blokes who go every single game. That level of commitment is unbelievable to me.
I mean, that level of commitment is unbelievable.
Because I actually can't afford it.
Yeah.
I would go to every single City game if I could feasibly afford it and it meant that I didn't have to miss work.
Facts.
I can't actually afford it.
It's expensive.
So anyone who can, I'm so incredibly jealous of. That's the dream, bro. Work hard, retire when you're 35 and then just follow games. City forever.
That is the dream.
But what unbelievable guy. Shout out to John Sims.
Big up, John Sims. I thought he was going to say Jim Skim. Obviously, people younger, maybe a lot of older viewers that watch TikTok. I've only come across him recently. He's obviously a TikToker, Jim Skim. He just goes around, pulls faces. He's very well known. He's popular. That's Jim, obviously the Jim, G-Y-M. And then Skin is his handle. But he was at a UFC fight and was getting started on, actually. Which is really annoying because he does content. I think obviously there's a lot of jealousy. We spoke about this before. Like United Strand, who was growing his hair for 5 games, got abused when he was in the Old Trafford Stadium by old traditional fans. When again at the MMA, Jim Skim was getting just abused and drinks thrown at him for, I guess, just doing content because he's a live streamer. So that's who I thought you meant. And then I saw the Brit Awards, and then I saw a guy doing random faces on the Brit Awards, like. He must be a viral sensation. He's putting like really like weird faces with his mouth. I didn't know who he was, but my friends were like, nah, have you not seen him? I'm like, no. But it was very weird. I just think, do you know what? Do you know, and let me carry on actually. I just think today's society of content creators, and I'm not one to speak because I'm in it, but like there's this 6'2 trend. I don't know when people like do 6'2, they pour milk on themselves and stuff. And then there's this streamer that got arrested for going to the North London Derby at Tottenham in an Arsenal kit. And a Chelsea check hat. And he wasn't really doing anything. He was just, he was aggravating, obviously, fans.
You
can't walk down the street. But the new school fans, I don't think, understand the severity of what you're doing. And he ended up getting, he got spat at and stuff. But he ended up getting arrested for saying a derogatory term. And the police were waiting to really take him away because he was causing such a commotion by just being in a full Arsenal kit on the Seven Sisters High Road. So as soon as he said something wrong, they nicked him, and now he's banned from every stadium in the country.
Good.
He's got and that's good, bro. And so do you know what? As much as he didn't really do too much, he did enough to say, you know what you're doing. And then on top of that, you're not inciting violence because you're not actually doing anything, but you shouldn't do that.
Well, you should be arrested for just disrespecting the game of football anyway.
There you go.
The most important thing about football is the fans. If you can't understand that, you can't understand the rivalry, you can't understand the hatred, you shouldn't be involved in the game.
Exactly.
And if you're going to try and profit off it by making stupid little videos and playing silly little games.
And he's a Chelsea fan as well. He did at Arsenal as well. He's
there you go.
Silly. I think he's a silly man. But he's now been arrested. He's obviously got to do a court day. But I think that's the terms of his court proceedings he can't go to games.
I want to get your thoughts on this as well, right?
Go on.
This is another viral video I saw. Hayley, actually, from Fubar, sent it to me.
Okay.
Said, let's talk about this. An amateur game in Istanbul in Turkey. The goalkeeper boots the ball, yeah? as you can see here, it takes a seagull out. So the goalkeeper levers a seagull. The seagull's there, dying on the floor. And the right back comes over, gives it CPR back to life in the middle of the game.
Wait, it comes back to life?
Yeah, it comes back to life.
Right. Nope. We have to break this. Nope, we have to. Firstly.
I've got opinions.
Yep. How have I not seen this? I saw I'm not across certain things. Firstly, I can't believe I haven't seen this. Secondly, how do you know how to give a seagull CPR?
Crazy.
Like,
it's crazy.
I understand you do, you press the chest and stuff, but so there was no mouth to mouth though, was
no,
there?
No. Okay. Just chest. Also, respectfully, why? It's just a seagull. They're just like pigeons. I'm sorry, I know the Kim, RSPCA are going to get
yeah, come on,
me.
Kim, you saw my face, that's the first
it's a,
show.
It's a seagull.
There's animal lovers in this world.
It's a seagull. He wanted to get a closer look at the action. He got smacked down. Chuck him off the pitch and get on with the game.
Can't do that. I'm playing Brighton this week. We're playing Brighton. No, listen, seagulls, all credit to them. You're going to go down this week as well, but... No.
I'm not having it. I'm sorry, I'm not having it. I'm not getting all your hands dirty for a little... Nah, not for me. So I'm sorry.
It's the animal love. It's a life. It's still a life.
Oh, it's a seagull though, isn't it? It's like, where do you draw the line?
Do you not see the commotion that the commentators were saying when the Brighton played and they had the man in a seagull hat and in the stands? Like, I don't know. I think that's good. I think that's good human... That restores a bit of faith in humanity that...
Yeah, I'm so dark.
Yeah.
Why I've taken that negatively is
you know
not
is?
Acceptable,
do you know what
really.
It is? First, my first thought was, bloody hell, that must have been a bloody good shot to hit a seagull.
In it.
But then I would say, fair play to the player. I mean, nah, if he just volleyed it out off the pitch, I'm sorry,
to be fair, if he did some keepy-uppies and volleyed it off the sideline, then I would be like, that's too far. But like, if I'm a right-back in that game, I'm thinking... Let me defend my left winger. I'm not even thinking about the CPR. Come on, mate.
I respect it. If they've stopped the game because of that, and then he's gone over and he's like, let me try and bring it back to life. Did they get up and fly off after that as well? Like,
I think they just kind of...
Let it carry on
the side.
Well, maybe he didn't die. Maybe he just got hit with the impact and then just was just dazed and then come back around when...
Definitely not one for radio, but I was riding a linebacker the other day.
Yeah.
Pigeon came in front of me. Smash this pigeon.
You hit a pigeon on a linebacker?
Yeah, all the pigeon went all over me. And then like I turned around and the pigeons like was just flying around in circles and then eventually died, yeah.
Damn.
Didn't mean it.
How did pigeons... What, pigeons are getting hit by... I thought pigeons were quite
aware. I thought they were supposed to be quite smart, yeah. But no.
I've never killed any animal in my car.
I love how the conversation's descended into this.
Yeah, no.
We haven't even spoken about City or Arsenal yet, but we're talking about pigeons dying on linebacks.
I completely forgot we're on a football show. Forgive me, people that listened. Let's return back to football. Right, let's actually, after this, we will come back to talking a little bit about football because that is what we're here to do. VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio?
VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio?
All right, Kim. That was a good... I enjoyed the intro. But we have to talk a little bit about football.
Of course.
We have to. This is a football show. And to be fair, we spoke about the space and sports media and the things around football in build-up. But we did divert a little bit and spoke about roadkill. or pitch kill, shall we say, and survival when it comes to the seagull being brought back to life. But let's go to the title race and where we're at. We're obviously... both going for this Premier League title. There's times where you've bailed out and said, it's done. Because you've lost to a certain team, your rivals and whatnot, and you thought, it's over. And then some would say, Arsenal let City back into it. City fans might say, no, we've hit a run of form. We've made some signings in January. And we've realised who we are and what we can do. And we've done this in the past and we are coming for that title. But where I'm at, and I think many fans would say, Cecil, are you nervous? Are you scared? You see the Sharks. That's probably the better one to do. And yes, I am keeping an eye on City. I keep telling myself, Cecil, stop focusing on the teams below you. Just be an Arsenal fan and watch your Arsenal games. You don't need to watch City games. But being one in this space and two, just a human, I'm at home on Saturday. I'm going to put the game on. As much as people say you don't need to watch them and focus on Arsenal, I'm a football fan. I'm not a player. Like, I'm not playing the game. Like, I'm going to watch the game if it's on. I'm at home. So, of course, I watched the Leeds Man City game. I'll be honest. Fair play to City. It took a lot out of them. As you can see, they were overjoyed and rightly so at the end of the final whistle. But it was a close game. Mm. There's definitely frailty still in that City side. But the same can be said about Arsenal. I'm not gonna deny the fact that Arsenal aren't perfect yet and we haven't clicked. But
it's genuinely a bit of a mid-off, isn't it? At the moment.
It is.
Like, neither of us are that good. Like, we were very unconvincing against Leeds. I honestly think we basically had one chance in that game.
Yeah.
And champions elect are the teams who take that one chance that they have. But we weren't particularly great in that game. I think Leeds definitely could have scored in the first half. Towards the end as well, they had that penalty shout, which would have been soft, but probably would have been given in the Champions League. They had that head in the last minute as well, Anton Stach. I think that just went a couple centimetres wide. I don't think we've been particularly brilliant, even in our good run of form. Even when we had that period where we'd won 10 games and drawn 3 in 13, we don't have the same air of invincibility that we did have a couple of years ago. Definitely not. So I'm not that confident when I'm looking at the team. I'm not that confident we're always going to win the game. But I think winning a game like that at Elland Road is what champions do. Like, you went there and you blew them away and that's fine and it was a good performance, but Leeds were pretty poor that night. Mm. Fine. Going against a Leeds team who are playing particularly well when you're really having an off day and still coming out with a win is something which fills me with confidence. But then, exactly the same thing can be said 24 hours later. Well, let's be honest, you didn't deserve to beat Chelsea. I think Chelsea were probably the better team. Pedro Neto does something really stupid and you score two goals from corners. So
this is what we do.
And it's just what you do. So it's like, it's simultaneously one of the most exciting title races of all time because everyone is expecting Arsenal, well, a lot of Man City fans, a lot of people who don't like Arsenal are expecting Arsenal to bottle it like they have done the last 3 years.
That's the whole world, basically.
Arsenal fans are very, very confident that they'll keep on doing it. So in that way, it's super, super exciting. But on the pitch, it's actually quite boring, isn't it? The games are a bit dull.
I think you summed that up pretty well. Apart from, I think Chelsea might have deserved to get a draw out of that game. It obviously ended with Arsenal winning, but we weren't great at all. The fans I spoke with last night outside the Emirates, they said, a lot of them said, you know, players had really good performances, but I actually disagree. I think there was some underwhelmed performances from Arsenal. However, we got the job done. And like you said, that's a sign of champions. I think there is a big portion that are quite confident that we'll go on and win it, but I think there is also a large, loud minority that think Arsenal are going to bottle it as well, as Arsenal fans.
Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of argument and back and forth with fans that they're saying that we're not going to win this league. Because they look at those performances as it's not sustainable. You can't play like that and win this title. But some would say if you're finding a way to win, no matter how ugly it is, you can win a title. So there is a lot of that. There is a lot of I'd say 60-40 split that there's fans that are confident that we're going to win this title, but there's fans that are really annoyed with or frustrated with the way we're playing and the fact that the strikers aren't really scoring goals. And there's a lot of, you know, in the attack just not flowing and not connecting well. So it's interesting. It is very interesting. It does build to be a great title race. I think what's the word I'm trying to find here? It's the neutral.
Mm.
They see this as a very exciting title race now because there's not much in it. There's only 5 points. And yeah, like they think a lot of them want Arsenal to bottle it because they think it'll be cinema. And then there's people that are saying, no, they want Arsenal to win it because it's been many years and football needs that. They've been so dominant for so many years of becoming second, not actually winning, but like they deserve this title. So it has built to be a good title race. I just want to see Arsenal win, lift the trophy. It's exhausting for me as an Arsenal fan.
I'm intrigued to know from you as an Arsenal fan, because I do think that you are quite an honest fan. Yeah. And me and my dad were having a bit of a debate yesterday. We were watching the Chelsea game. Obviously, we were watching it together. We were both super disappointed that Chelsea couldn't get any points out of it. Obviously, when Liam Delap put that in at the end, we both jumped up off the couch and then it was offside.
That's nice to hear as an Arsenal fan, I'll be honest. So I know that I'm glad that City fans are doing the same that what we're doing. We are watching.
And to be completely honest, I'm more hoping you step up than looking at City thinking, oh my God, we're so amazing. We're definitely going to win. That's not what I'm thinking, because I don't think we've played that great. I'm more looking at you and thinking, if we can keep on grinding out results and you have another couple of results like the Wolves game, then we come in the lead. But my argument with my dad was, and you be completely honest with me, because I've been getting it after that Saturday show on DR Sports. I've been getting thousands of comments from Arsenal fans. I've always had a bit of a go at Arsenal. Yeah, Arsenal fans online have always hated me. They're always slagging me off. That's fine. I don't mind. That's part and parcel of the game. I genuinely have watched you more often than I haven't watched you this season. Mm. I don't think that you are that great. I don't think you are that great. Now, you are top of the league for a reason, right? Mm. That reason is because you're defensively incredibly stable. That's you it. Have the best defence.
That's it.
And you've mastered set pieces, which I can't fathom how in the last year and a half of Premier League football, teams have not discovered how to defend against that. I'm really surprised by that. But I watched that game yesterday and I just thought, you're not that good. Mm. Neither are we. So I'm not saying like our City definitely deserve to be champions because they're so much better. But I look at the Arsenal team and I think like, you're not that good. You're very effective, but you're not that great.
There's I said it's defence. I said, that's it. I think because our defence is so good that it builds for a lot of boring games because we just see out games. But there's two ways to look at this. In the Premier League, teams know Arsenal are very good. So they set up for it to be a boring game. So they set up very defensively and they make it very hard for Arsenal, which if I'm, in my opinion, again, like I said, it builds to be a boring game because you put every man behind the ball and we're not massively great creatively going forward. So it becomes a, where do you find the goal? A set piece, an own goal, a pressure, which again is boring and it's not entertaining and doesn't make it seem like Arsenal are a great team. So there's that argument. Premier League set up for it to be a boring game. So what do you expect? But then, okay, you can say yesterday Chelsea came at us and it still was a boring game. Mm. And that's because Arsenal didn't really offer anything. So there's that. And the reason why I said there's two ways of looking at it, because in Europe, teams come and we bop them to pieces. And when I watch Arsenal in Europe, I love it. We are so good in Europe because I'm watching a good Arsenal team play free-flowing football. But in the Premier League, I don't think there's...
What do you think the reason for that is? Do you think Arteta's just so nervous about winning the league?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's, like I said, it's teams set up for... They know how Arsenal plays. So they find ways to stop us playing the way we want to play. And then it becomes a boring game because of that. There's that. Or, like you just said, we're just not that good. We're just getting it over the line in ways that you just mentioned. Set pieces and own goals and stuff. So I think there's some truth to what you're saying. But I also think there's also a bit of truth to Arsenal can be good when playing against certain teams that want to try and play against Arsenal. Because we can show that we are a better team because we have quality players. I just think nowadays, football has just become this not great and insane to watch because that is just how it is. Because like I said back in the day, we haven't got amazing maverick strikers that are just taking on players and the old school where it's just like two strikers that are just battering defenders and embarrassing them and we're just dominating teams. No, it's not that. That's not the time we're playing. We're playing very systematic football and everything is overcoached and very meticulous in particular that leads to us not looking great. But again, like you just said, City don't look great either. There's frailties in that team.
Not.
There's not really a team in the Premier League now I watch and say, wow, wow, and you guys are sick. I don't see that.
I think your Champions League point is very fair.
Yeah,
Arsenal have looked really, really good in the Champions 100%. League. 100%. It's a shame anyway, and I know Arsenal fans will just listen to this and say it's because I'm bitter. It genuinely isn't. It's a shame now that we're at this sort of cyclical point in football where a London derby in the title race can be decided by three corners. Yeah. Basically, two own goals and three corners. That's a bit of a shame. But I'm sure that probably did happen in the past and maybe we're just highlighting it now because, like we've said, like football's a little bit more pragmatic now than it has been. But it is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, Robbie said to me yesterday, he said, like, no one hasn't run away with the title in so long. Liverpool last season, cool. Mm. They went with about a 10-point gap. But apart from that, it's always been like, it gets tough towards these back ends and football sometimes doesn't always, you know, beautiful to watch. It does annoy me as a fan of football as well as Arsenal that we're not blowing teams away. But then someone will be screaming at their listening device and be saying, well, listen, last week you guys smacked Tottenham and that was beautiful to watch. And it was. But then there's always that other person saying, oh, but it's only Tottenham and it's only look where they are in the league. That's what you should be doing. So it's a tough one. It is a tough one. But I don't think fans should be getting at you because of your opinion on that, because we haven't been blowing teams away. In Europe we have, but I just think, yeah, in the league, you can say that. You can say we don't look that great, but at times, many teams haven't looked that great. After this, I need to ask you, I've given a lot of my rants and a lot of things off my chest, funny enough. This is the time, in this show today, I've done a lot of the talking. So it's been nice to get off a lot of my chest. So my rant, I'm struggling for a rant of the week, but I would be interested to hear yours because I know what you did last time around umbrellas went absolutely crazy. I had people in my own friend group bring up your rant of the week. So I'll be intrigued to hear what you've got coming up this week.
VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio?
Kim, your last one was brilliant. Umbrellas. And like I said, my friends brought it up and said, that guy, what he said was spot on, was facts about umbrellas in his rant of the week. And of course, we're gonna have a debate after that as well, a big debate after the rant of the week. But while I have a think if there's anything that I need to get off my chest, because a lot of it was new school content and how it's changed the media space and the people that don't like it, spoke about it at the beginning. That was a rant I wanted to get off my chest. And the other thing was, there was another thing which I mentioned at the top of the show as well, which was kind of a rant to just get off my chest. So I'll have a little think while you give yours. Talk to me then. What has been on your mind? What has been frustrating you?
Right, it's a three-parter.
Oh, wow. Let me think of mine.
And it annoys me so much, and I was going to ask if I can swear, but then I remembered it's our show, and yeah, I can just do what I want. it's travelling in London. But there's three parts to it, three very distinct parts, okay? First of all, why am I paying so much money to fix my cars regularly? Because I'm driving in central London, in Westminster, the most expensive borough in the whole of the country, and there are potholes on every single road. It's not like there's just one or two. Every single road, and it's fine driving in the car, I don't care, I expect things are going to go wrong with my car. If I'm on a bike, it's genuinely dangerous.
Yeah,
it's genuinely dangerous, bro. Like, my testicles after riding on a bike in London are in pieces. They're in bits because it's so bumpy. They haven't bothered to tarmac the roads.
Ridiculous.
In 20 years, I get it. I understand that councils are underfunded. I understand government.
I'm not having that, because Westminster, like you said, when you get fined, it's £80. That's a discounted rate. If you don't do it, it's 160 if you don't do it.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Crazy. Then, to avoid driving, fine. I won't drive. I'll go on the underground. Now, I moved from Manchester 6 years ago, right?
Yep.
Before I came to London, I thought, fucking hell, these guys are so rude. Every time I get in on the tube, I get off at Euston, I'll go somewhere. Yeah. These guys are pushing past me. They're so rude. No one's willing to wait. I get it, bro.
Yeah.
The underground is disgusting.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's smelly. It's scientifically proven to make you feel unwell. There's no air there. It's bad for your skin. It's bad for your breathing. And you walk down there, and I love how multicultural London is. I love the fact that there are tourists everywhere. If you're going to come to London, if you're going to use the tube, walk at a normal pace.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
I actually can't. Like, I'm trying to get to work, and I'm late every day because four people are walking like that. They're walking in a horizontal line through the queues. They don't. They can't get out their Oyster card. They don't understand the contact tapping. They'll stand on the left and the right of the escalator.
I think
we need to introduce a system. We need to introduce a yellow and red card system. And I think it should be. I think it should be down to the public.
I like that.
If I'm stood behind someone on an escalator on the left hand side and I can't walk past them, it should be within my right to give them a yellow card.
There should be someone at the bottom of the escalator. Judging it, being a ref, and then if they're standing on both, as they come off yellow card, and it should be a warning, and then if they continue to do it, they should get a fine.
100%. No, they should be banned.
Oh, they're banned.
They should be banned. 1 year ban. If you come back and you do it again, even once, lifetime ban.
Wow.
I'm sick of it.
Wow, you really are.
Use it properly. And the third thing, which this actually upsets me, right? I don't know how you feel about this. I'm 29 years of age now.
Yeah, we're close in age.
I was very, very naughty at school. I was a horrible little kid, yeah. But I always had respect for things. I would never chuck shit on the floor. I would never litter. I'd never do any of that. Yeah. And I always had respect for elderly, old people.
Yeah, of course.
That doesn't exist. I don't know if it's just a London thing. That doesn't exist anymore. So much so to the point that we have, right?
Yep.
We have problems in this country with clean air. So a company has come in and they've decided, here's one way to sort it out. Let's bring in these Lime bikes. Yes. They're available to everyone at an extremely reasonable price. Lime bikes are unbelievable. Other bikes are available fine. Lime bikes are incredible. Yep. That's what I used to get around most of the time.
My rant's going to be around this.
Why are young kids out there just puncturing tires of Lime bikes?
You've done it. That was my rant fight of the week.
Why?
I literally, oh my.
Why are you taking away?
I was just about to jump on this.
Why are you taking away the one good thing, the one good transport we have in this system? There are young kids out there just thinking, oh, let's stab this. And if they don't stab it, and you go and you're looking at the linebacker, you think, they've got two perfect wheels.
Right.
You try and get on the bike, one of the pedals has been stolen.
That's it. Just on this, I'm for the people that aren't watching, I'm opening up my Lime Bike app because I'm a big fan of the Lime Bikes, right? There are other bikes available. Yes, you're right to mention that. I literally came out of the station today to get on a Lime Bike to the studio today, and there was one that was right by the station. Now, I'm aware, this is how much I use Lime Bikes. I'm aware that it's not parked in the right place. So I'm like, okay, this is very odd that it's here because it should be in a parking spot, which means it's usable. But because it's here, it's more accessible for me and I need one right now. So I went over, paid, scanned it, right? Yeah. Get on it. To then find out it has a punctured back tire. I'm like, why are kids or people doing this? Because now I have to ride this to the right spot to park it because I paid for it.
And you can't park it?
And I can't park it, yeah, because
and you can't ride it? Oh, it's a disaster.
I had to walk it to a car park and they charged me, for people, £1.99. I know people say it's not a lot, but because I didn't actually use it, I had to move it to a parking spot to then take it off to then get another one, which then cost me £4 to get the one
You've had a £2 coin and you've chucked it in the gutter.
Literally, that's all you've done. Yeah.
And if Lineback want to sponsor us, by the way, I've done 818 rides on Lineback. I love Lineback.
Oh my.
1,798 kilometers 800 on Lime. 818 limes, yeah.
Okay, I thought I was a Lineback avid user, but I travel around the world and use Lime Bikes. I've only had 260.
We've had over 1,000 Lime Bikes between us. Do sponsor us. It is an absolute
disgrace,
bro. Because they are so good.
You can't even. One thing I would say, sorry, we're not working for Lime Bike, but yeah, I said sponsor us. We should be able to report if it's not in use or it's been punctured because that now Lime Bike is going to be there.
100%.
For the whole rest of the day, I guess, 100%. Or until they do the next cycle of Lime Bike. So
if you're someone out there who thinks it's hilarious to just stab tires of Lime Bikes,
I'll get a life.
Do something else with your time.
Get a life.
It's not fun. Get a life. It's not funny. I've been late to so many things because of this issue.
Get a life.
I'm sick of it.
Right. That was, it's annoying because I was going to piggyback on the end of your one. And I will, just to, because we're in travel, just because we're on travel quickly. One, the Lime Bike was what I was gonna join in on. But also I saw a really good video and it irks me so much as well. So I'm gonna quickly I'm gonna piggyback off your video as well. I forgot your name. I don't know your name. You didn't say your name, but it went viral. The rule of when you're on a tube, you have to let the person off first before you step on the tube. I don't care how busy, how late you are. That is common etiquette. That is, and the guy said it shows the sort of person you are if you don't let people off the tube first. And I agree with that. Let people off the train first before you enter. You don't gain an advantage on your time by not letting them off. You might try and run to a seat, but common etiquette is letting the person off the tube. I think that is absolutely disastrous if you do not do that. I really, really do. Right, Kim, you know, being a producer of the show, you know my favorite section of the show. And that is coming up right now. It is Fantasy 11. Let's get into this.
VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
Fantasy 11 time. And today's topic is Marvel characters. Characters of the MCU. Now, I'm a big Marvel fan. I am waiting for Doomsday. I'm waiting for that. There's this summer. It's coming out. The Avengers Doomsday. I love Marvel. So when I saw that this is what we're doing, I was all in. Funny enough, I found it very difficult to pick an 11 because I don't really know what we base off. The popular characters today, are they better? Do they win? I don't know. But we're gonna judge it together. We haven't got someone to tell us the winner, so we'll decide.
We haven't got an independent adjudicator.
We haven't got an independent adjudicator, but I'm sure the listeners will have their opinion, but also we can be fair. We can be fair. Right, let's do this. We've decided to change the formation. 4-4-2. Why not?
Old school.
Kim said he went 4-4-2. I said I can work with that. I can make that happen. So I've gone 4-4-2.
I love my team, by the way. I'm just looking at it. I'm just thinking, God, I'm good.
Well, we'll
find out. We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Right. signing goal. You go, I go.
Obviously, Dr. Octopus.
Oh,
not only has he got loads of arms, he can fly a bit.
Doc Ock.
Imagine trying to put in a corner to Doc Ock.
Have I dropped the ball?
He's collecting the ball every time.
I'm now looking at him. Sorry, people. I'm pausing because I've let that one go. I've let that one go. I just typed in Mr. Octopus and they've gave me Mr. Men, Mr. Tickle. Sorry, Dr. Ock. Here we go. Yeah.
Mr. Tickle also probably a decent goalie. He's got arms for days. That's a lot of arms.
To be fair, look out for the fantasy of Mr. Men coming up.
Mr. Men's next week.
Okay. I've dropped the ball here. I went with Groot in goal because, hear me out, Groot, because he's on grass. If you know Groot's power, he can morph into the ground and pull up vines and branches. So I'll be honest, that is a good, I'm going bar for bar here. Dr. Octopus is actually his name, versus Groot. I think that's fair in goal. Maybe Groot's a bit nice. And Dr. Octopus is a bit angry.
Octopus is smoking you.
No, I don't know. I mean,
because his arms can go for miles and they're made out of metal.
But I can go into the ground and just everywhere.
To be fair, it's nil-nil, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's already nil-nil.
No one's scoring. Okay. Dr. Octopus and I've gone Groot. Right back.
I'll tell you my fullbacks because I think they work well as a pair.
Okay, I've done that as well. Go on, talk to me.
Black Panther right back. I don't even really need to explain why.
No, of course.
I just feel
Panther, yeah.
Panther, yeah. Cultured, yeah. Speedy. Yeah. Kyle Walker.
I'm trying to think who's the
left back. I've gone Wolverine.
Okay, the metals and the
do you see what I'm saying? Like the metals, the speed, the animalistic
vibranium,
nature of them.
Vibranium they have, don't they? Black Panther has vibranium. I don't know if I wonder if Wolverine's
incisive.
Okay.
Quick.
Okay. Sharp.
Lion-like.
Okay. Oh, mine sounds so weak compared to them. I've gone Ant-Man right back and I've gone the Wasp left back. But because...
That's just mental.
They have a film together, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it makes sense.
It does make sense.
They're a partnership, but however...
They're getting smoked and you know they are.
Fullbacks are my weakest positions, by the way. They always are. Okay.
Centre-backs.
Talk to me.
I've gone Thor. He's just big, isn't he? He's big, and I feel he's just big.
There's only one person you could put next to him to make this maybe stronger than mine.
Captain America?
No. Okay, good. It would have been Loki because they're brothers, but that's fine.
Oh.
That's fine. You dropped the ball there. So you've gone Thor and Captain America.
Captain America because he's a shield,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Defensive. I like that.
Very shield. Defensive.
I've gone the Hulk. Aggressive.
Yeah,
strong.
I'm getting past him.
Yep. Partner, She-Hulk.
Fair enough.
Now hear me
out.
Hear me out, because some would say, but it's Bruce Banner, and then they need that. Like, what happens if they're not formed in their Hulk character? Hear me out. We've been in relationships, all of us. We know how to annoy our partners. When you have Hulk and She-Hulk, even though I don't know if I think they were partners. They know how to aggravate to get themselves to where they need to be the best defensive partnership. So for me, Hulk and She-Hulk. I think that makes sense.
Well, you'll see with my strikers.
I think I've won the centre back to pairing. You've won the fullback. Okay. Midfield. Okay, let's do the centre mids.
Two centre mids. The sort of deeper one, and I'm going to make him my captain, is Charles Xavier. Now, hold on. I know he's in a wheelchair, but he can do things with his mind.
Telekinesis.
He can do all of his stuff with his mind, so he doesn't need his legs.
But the
legs would be important for sure. But what I'm thinking is he just sits in one spot and he just controls the game with his mind.
Okay.
He can see everything. He's picking off passes.
Okay.
And then the man alongside him can execute it. Hawkeye. You've got to think about them through balls.
Surprised you didn't go.
Long range shots.
Surprised you didn't go Hawkeye up front. But okay. I like that. I do like that. I've gone Magic in the midfield, of course. Doctor Strange, of course.
He can walk as well.
Can walk, can kick balls, can teleport the ball, make the circles, all of that stuff. Can make circles in the goal, right in the position where you're shooting and put it out, go through that hole and end up being in the midfield to him or on his feet. Doctor Strange, alongside him, another magician, Scarlet the Witch, who also does telekinesis, also does the shh, But she has to, I think she has to touch you though. But that's fine. We'll get it close. She's got legs. She
can move. It's going to be a big battle of telekinesis on the pitch,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
The ball's just going to be whizzing around.
Exactly. But this is magic. So I think we're at a stalemate there.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Let's go wingers.
My wingers, Spider-Man, swinging around the back.
Have I done that as well? No. Yeah, Karen. Okay.
Spider-Man and Iron Man. Spider-Man swings around the back, gets on headers, athletic, can beat his defenders. I mean, let's be honest, right? If he's coming up against a right back, he's just going to shoot webs at their feet. They're going to fall over and he can just dribble past. Iron Man, respectfully, nothing without a suit. But if he's wearing the suit, he's cooking you.
Iron Man's my favourite Marvel character as well, just for people that are listening. Right wing, left wing. Just so you know, you're... Right wing and left wing, Spider-Man and Iron Man are my front two.
Interesting.
Because they're a partnership. People will know they're a partnership. The suits are made by Tony Stark, and they're just, like you said, without the suits, what are they? But they're my strikers. My right wing and left wing, they say the most powerful Marvel character in the MCU, Captain Marvel, which is the lady, really, really strong. She's playing left wing. Right wing, I've gone Captain America. The captains together.
Which one's your captain?
Oh, that's a great question.
Don't be sexist. Dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I'm thinking new school. Come on. I'm thinking it's a good year. It's 2026.
2026.
The women are stepping up.
There we go.
She's a leader. And then, do you know what? Not even just to go politically correct with what they would say or new school. My missus runs my house. She's the captain. So big up Captain Marvel.
Facts.
Yeah, it's the women do rule my life. So Captain Marvel can be
my
captain.
I can't wait to tell you my strike partnership.
Go on.
I'm thinking Jermaine Defoe, Peter Crouch.
I've got Tall and Short. I knew.
I've got the Hulk and Ant-Man. I'm sorry, but that's an elite combo.
But Ant-Man can grow to really big as well.
I don't want him to grow really big.
You want him really small.
Charles Xavier is going to make the ball tiny. And Ant-Man's just going to whiz past and score. In fact, actually, I've won. I've won, sorry.
That's quite good. But She-Hulk and Hulk can just... Well, I don't know if they can see them, but can just step on and just flat.
Yeah, but he's agile, isn't he? He's agile.
I know you've got Hulk versus Hulk is... And she, I suppose they can all... Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's a tight one, Kim.
It's a tough game.
I don't really... Oh...
Someone out there, by the way, must be good enough at AI to do this game. Because yesterday I was watching 10,000 John Cena's against a million orangutans.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you watching?
Bro, my TikTok algorithm is like...
Watching?
My TikTok algorithm is like 14-year-old who's just discovered marijuana.
What are you watching?
Seriously, that's all it is. It's just videos of weird fights that are never going to take place and sandwiches.
All right, I'm going to... Yeah, I think it's tight. Can we go draw?
We can go draw.
Let's go draw. I think
we're not having a draw next week.
No. We won't have a draw next week. We'll go draw for today. And I will say, just before we go, the AI thing you just mentioned is very true. On Match of the Day, other football shows are available. They had AI as well of that he could. The man should be here, and then they made the man run. I know they can move them normally, but he actually made them in an AI way run. It was really weird. I said. No, we are going into a whole new world.
Right, our kids are going to be watching AI football.
Yeah.
They're going to be putting bets on robots playing football.
You're not wrong.
And that's one way to end the show.
That's one way to end the show. Could be a dark future for our kids watching. And your kids as well, their listeners that have kids. AI football is definitely going to be a thing. And AI betting and all that stuff is coming to a town near you, I'm sure. That's how we're going to end today's VR. Are you serious? Thank you for listening. It's been a great show. Big up to Kim Katari as well for being... Not the guest, my partner in crime in this show. Thank you very much, and we'll see you again next week. Take care. Love.
This is The Different Football Show. VAR, are you serious? On FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.